This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV. Till I die.
Good evening. Hey, look at me. Let me get my Viagra out. Ah, there we go. It works every time. Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello. Welcome along. This is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us, either watching on YouTube or listening via your favourite podcast platform. You are most welcome. And if any Sunderland fans are joining us, welcome along. This is going to be a very, very interesting game, I think, for both of us. If you are watching live, please join in with the show by adding your comments in the stream. Or if you're watching on catch up, obviously you can add your comments in the details below on YouTube. Scott is in. Hello for a second time today, Scott. How the devil are you, sir? As he says there, please everyone smash the like button and subscribe. Thank you very much, sir. Ronald is back. Hello, Ronald. I know you've got something to say, but you'll see as the show progresses, put it in, and I'll try and save it to the relevant moment. And Nate is back. Hi, Nate. How are you doing? Spencer's in. Evening, Chris. We need to get back to winning ways. Oh, my God. Do we not? We are desperate to get back to winning ways. But first of all, I don't know if you saw it later. It's getting a lot of views to say that it's only been up for a couple of hours. You may have seen either on Leicestershire Live or Leeds Live, because obviously you can guess from the name, it's all part of the same group, or in that mighty tome that is the Sun newspaper. Believe what you want, but there are discussions that Leicester City could be deducted points if we do get promoted. Won't happen this season, so sorry Leeds fans and Ipswich Town fans. We're doing a good enough job of losing points ourselves this season without actually having to have any taken off us. And I can see from Brad's face that he agrees with me on that point. But we did do a show, myself, Brad and Dave, earlier, just discussing it. Get over to our YouTube channel, Leicester Till I Die, or LTID TV. And it's under the recent shows banner. We discuss the possible points deduction. But we've done that. We've got that out of a system. We're here today, tonight, to discuss a game that could go one of two ways. We could end up and it could be a 5-5 draw, or the way that both our games are going, it could easily be a 0-0 and last on that match of the day as they speak. But look, well, let's fingers crossed. Let's talk about it. This is the preview show for Sunderland versus Leicester City, which is live tomorrow night. We've got Paddy, we've got Brad, and we'll get them both in straight after I can click the right one here. If I can just find it.
Chris does it 3 hours a day.
Want to do it again?
5 days a week.
Oh, yes.
Just for you.
I love it.
On the Golden Breakfast Show.
This is Surrey Hills Radio.
Oh, and look, I managed to get it right. I got us all in the right order, not somebody disappearing behind the banners or anything like that. First of all, we saw him earlier on in the season, and it is brilliant to have him back with us. And that is Paddy. Paddy, good evening. How the devil are you, sir?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Just, yeah, I mean, I was laughing along there when you were saying about how you guys want to get back to winning ways desperately. Exactly the same for us. And as you said, you know, we're kind of going into this game very similar, very bad runs of form. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully something could break. But as you said, that usually means it'll be a draw. So...
Yes. Although having said that, I think both of us would probably take that at the moment. I mean, you know, definitely. You said you'd take a point against, was it Norwich you played on Saturday?
Yeah.
That didn't work out for you, but I think we'd both take the point now. There is a link to your podcast in the description below on YouTube, but do just give a shout out and tell everybody where they can listen to you should they so wish to.
Yeah, so obviously we have a podcast, Roker Report podcast. We do a couple of shows a week, sort of previews and review shows. Yeah, I mean, you find us on all the usual platforms, Spotify, sort of wherever you listen to your podcasts, really. We know we have a sort of a dedicated podcast team, and then over on our website we have, you know, upwards of about 30 writers, so we're always there's new articles going up there every day. And I mean, the tone of them has changed a lot in the last few weeks, understandably, but it's just, you know, the football dictates the mood of the writing, of really. So it's, you know, it's the same of with any club.
Yeah. And if anybody is watching that follows me on the BBC website, that's bbc.com/LCFC. I've got my details coming out, my match report coming out tomorrow. And I'm just wondering, Brad, I was kind of still upset about the weekend result when I watched it. So there may be some major editing from the BBC, but we do need to get back to winning ways, don't we?
Well, first of all, Chris, I'm surprised you managed to sum up our slump and our performance in just 300 words. I'm sure the BBC must have sent back a few copies that you're not telling us about, because there was half a book written about it.
Well, it's 200, actually, which makes it even harder.
Oh, well, they cut you. You cut your budget as well, did they?
Take the swear words out, and I think it was probably about three words. We are shit.
Sounds well. You summed it up quickly there, and that's being polite, I guess. So yeah, you do want to stop. You want to stop the rot, don't you? I don't know what it is that's going on at the moment. We're just in a funk. Maybe this is finally that little bad patch everybody was talking about. It's the longest we've gone in the league. Yeah. So
I did say, didn't I? I did say we are due a bad run.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's come at the worst time, because this is the end. You know, the final hurdles are in the way, and all of a sudden now the horse is stumbling, and we need to get back on track. But this isn't going to be an easy game. It wasn't anyway, regardless. And, you know, Sunderland are a team that are very notorious in the Championship. They've got great experience in this division. I know they're going through some up and down times recently, but they've never been the easiest of opponents for us to beat. Yeah. Yeah. So,
and the game earlier in the season, which we'll come on to, you know, wasn't it? You know, it was a difficult game. And even back then, I think I'd said I'd take the point, but even more so now that we're going up to the northeast on a wet Tuesday evening in Sunderland. Oh, no, that's Stoke, isn't it? Look, Paddy, we start by this is going to be interesting. This could be the whole show. But we look at the managers. You're trying to catch Watford up here, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean it's not something quite you want to try and replicate, but I mean it's crazy to think that since we last played, you know, we've sacked Mowbray, we've brought in we've brought in Beale, then we've sacked Beale and we've brought Dodds back in. Yeah, I mean it's been from about sort of December onwards, it's just been absolute chaos, to be honest. I mean, you know, to some extent, it was quite funny. You know, you're sort of thinking, like, how are all these decisions being made, and how are all these, you know, there's just bad decisions being made by the people at the club. But then it's got the point where, you know, tying in, we've lost four on the bounce, which, I mean, it's the worst run we've had since being back in the Championship. Yeah. I mean, I know a couple of seasons, but, you know, we've never lost four on the spin, in these last 2 years until now. And I mean, it's just, you know, the benefit of hindsight's great. I mean, I know a lot of fans kind of were quite surprised when Mowbray got the sack. The performances had dropped off. I mean, you know, the last couple of games he was in charge, we were dreadful, and it kind of went back further than that. But we needed to get the next appointment spot on, and you know, we couldn't have got it much worse, to be honest. I mean, you know, we brought in a guy who he barely lasted 2 months. He seemed to sort of put his foot in it whenever he was talking to the press. You know, everything what seemed to happen around the club was just. I mean, I must admit that I think a lot of the things what Michael Beale said did get overanalyzed. I think, to be honest, he said things which Tony Mowbray said, but I think because Tony Mowbray said it in a northeast accent, you know, people didn't see it as bad, basically. But you know, I mean, I think that the Beale appointment, it was never going to work out. To be honest, I was surprised we made the decision to sack him when we did. I think a lot of us kind of thought we've got him until the end of the season now. Although, to be honest, I think if that was the case, I mean, I think we would have been on a similar run to what we are now. And it's just, it's unfortunate that, you know, Mike Dodds has come back in as caretaker. You know, he's sort of interim, I think, is the the official title now, rather than caretaker. And you know, he's got off to, in his eyes, the worst possible start. You know, I mean, we lost to a pretty disappointing Swansea team, and then, you know, we went there. The Norwich game was frustrating because the performance did improve, and unfortunately we've lost out to, I mean, it was a good finish by Josh Sargent, but it was just bad defending. It was just, you know, the defenders have let the ball bounce in the box, and it's just kind of, it's rule number one, really, and we're just falling asleep. And it's the,
I mean, when I look at it, you say Mowbray had to go, but I mean, he seemed, I was trying to think who you had before Tony Mowbray.
It was Alex Neil. Alex Neil.
Who went off to, he wasn't there that long himself, was he?
He had 19
senior games. But I mean, Mowbray, I don't really see, I can remember, I think, was he at Blackburn as well for a while? Because I think I used to work at Blackburn. And, he's come along, you know, you think that experienced manager, and it's very difficult because, look, people used to look at us and go, hey, Brendan Rodgers, you got the experience, blah, blah, blah. We obviously don't see it week to week. It was that bad that he had to go, or was it a case of, because you've got a young owner there, that he maybe pulled the trigger too soon?
One is on Tony Mowbray.
Yes.
To be honest, again, I'll go back to it. I mean, I think Tony Mowbray's great. I wish him all the best at the minute. You know, with the health issues he's going through, and his time as Sunderland head coach, for me, it was probably the favourite time I've had watching Sunderland play. He got our young squad, and he kind of just set out the task of them to just go out and enjoy yourself, really. And you know, that we saw a lot of our players thrive under this kind of this motto and this sort of game plan. And I just think the performances were getting worse and we were going backwards. But I still, at the time, I got it. I got why we sacked him. But, you know, again, with the benefit of hindsight, you know, which is brilliant, you know, if we all had that, then we wouldn't have to be, you know, making all these discussions and debates. But, I mean, to be honest, if Michael Beale was the number one target for the club, then I would have been more than happy to just keep Tony Mowbray.
Yeah.
I just think it went against our, you know, that the club made a big deal of going, no, we're going to get this appointment right. You know, it's going to be a data driven appointment. And, you know, we know for a fact that, you know, the club came out and said that Michael Beale was the number one target, but we can pretty much say for a fact that he wasn't, because a lot of discussions with Will Steele took place. And are kind of, you know, they're bubbling away under the surface. I still think he blinked with the job in the summer, whether or not he takes it. You know, I mean, it's clear that he wants a job in England. I know he's a big West Ham fan. He said before that would be his kind of dream job. You know, and would it be a case of, you know, would he see Sunderland as a decent kind of jumping in point to the English game? I mean, I would say so.
You're a huge club, aren't you, really? You know, you've not had a, you know, major success for a while, but it's still a big club for somebody to take over. And it just, from the outside, it did look a bit of an odd decision to get rid of him. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, we know what that's like, don't we, Brad? You know, we'd like to say everybody's saying like, well, what are you getting rid of Brendan Rodgers for? Look what he's done. Look what he's done. Apart from upsetting female hosts. But I mean, for us, Brad, I mean, I made the joke after the weekend that, you know, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy, because he has sort of come into this situation without any experience, so he's still learning on the job. And it's almost been too good, hasn't it? It's almost been like, my God, you know, we had a great transfer summer. Yeah, all right, we've got the blip now, read the points, but we'll leave that. Win, couldn't we? We couldn't seem to sort of lose if we tried. You know, we'd wait until the sort of the 91st minute to score, and we'd get the win. Suddenly, one or two of the wheels are dropping off, and I suppose this is where he earns his stripes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can be a good manager when things are going great. And let's face it, until these last three games, things were above and beyond many a Leicester fan's expectations. Did we expect to be in the top three fighting for the top two? I'm pretty sure most Leicester fans, well, even the most pessimistic fan, would have thought we would at least be competing to be back in the Premier League come this season. Was there that many of that convinced we was going to hold on to players, you know, like he has... win games at points in the season to a canter at the way Leicester have, you know, we were in a really strong position. I just think the first time there's a test, it's like a fire alarm's gone off at school and you've not been warned about it and it goes off and, you know, we're having that little, is it actually a real fire moment? Like, is this actually happening? Are we actually suddenly getting caught up when we felt quite confident? And honestly, I know, like, obviously, we talked about this backstage, that both teams are on the same sort of bad sort of form. But I know you said backstage, Paddy, that, like, if you need points, come to Sunderland. Well, unfortunately, we've kind of arrived at the same office, because right now that's how it feels at Leicester. So it's going to be interesting to play the game tomorrow night. But it does make you think, doesn't it, Chris? It's taken three games for the panic to set in when you consider three games before. We were all
under
very
normal circumstances, Brad. You lose three games, and you kind of like, well, okay, you know. I mean, it was Leeds. I'll whisper this because of Paddy being in Middlesbrough. and QPR. Now, the QPR one, I think, was worse because, again, on paper, it's a game we should have won. Leeds, look, they're up there, and Middlesbrough, we lost to them earlier in the season. But I just, like I say, I do feel that we've got... are we panicking too soon is what I'm trying to say, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to make a reference that I'm sure Leicester fans are all sick of being made, but we might as well play up to the name tag we've been given this season. Did either of you watch Man City versus Manchester United yesterday? I know, not just for its comedy value, you know.
We're talking about Goldridge,
yeah, because you know where I'm going with this, Chris. Like we know exactly what we get called as a football club. You know, we you know, with how we have Premiership quality and all this, we get told because he was the, you know, assistant at Man City, we get compared to them in that sense. So, you know, like tongue in cheek, take the mix sort of thing, saying we're, you know, with our riches, etc. But they passed Man City to death. That's what he's trying to get us to do. And it's showing that you can do it to a degree, but it takes a very special side to be able to do it the way that he does it at Man City. It shouldn't really set panic off losing three games because it's not perfect. Like you see, you look at how Man City do it, and it shows you how much of a high quality you have to be to actually play the patient style football that he's doing.
Just a sidetrack there. Can I say how absolutely... And if I don't know if anybody's on TikTok. We're on TikTok. You can see in the corner there, there's the two QR codes. The black one is for TikTok. The red one is for Instagram. You can just scan those in on your mobile phone and it takes you straight there and sign up. If you are on TikTok, please do search Mark Goldridge and watch his reaction.
Please, it's hilarious.
It is. To see a man, I don't know if you've seen it, Paddy, and I know it's like, you know, we don't support either of those two teams, but just to see the meltdown that this guy has. And I know he plays up to the camera, obviously he does, and that's why he's got as many views as he's got. Yeah. But it is ironic to hear a Manchester United fan saying that the referee is in favour of the opposition team. I mean, like, you know, what? You know.
After all them years for Ferguson.
I know. It's like, did you just say that? Really? You know. But look, anyway, do go and check that out. It is worth a subscription on that. I love the fact that, I don't know, I presume you both know that obviously Mark Goldridge is not his real name. That's just his persona for online. And the fact that he's actually called Brent is absolutely brilliant, because the only other Brent I know is the guy out of the office. So it's in quite nicely with that. Dear. Right. Fans always expect miracles from their new manager, says Elijah. That's true. You immediately expect that bounce. I wonder if we are still paying Brendan some wages. I don't think we will be, personally, but who knows in this weird world that is football these days. Denny, welcome along. Why are we losing games to easy teams? It's the Leicester way, isn't it? We always have done, always have done. I don't know why we're losing all our three games we've played Leicester City. Denny, are you talking about Leicester there or are you talking about Sunderland? I'm not sure which team, because you then go on to say, I don't know why we're losing all our three games we played Leicester City. So I'm a bit confused there. Rene, how are you? Welcome along. Now, this is your season, Paddy. And it looks like a bit like a heart monitor for you, a bit up and down there. Not the best of starts, but look, looking at that, and I know you were sixth last season. You were in the playoffs. It didn't, unfortunately, work out for you. But it's not... Looking at that, there's teams in this division that have had a lot worse seasons than you.
Yeah, they have. And it's weird because, you know, I've said this before on multiple occasions that, weirdly, us finishing sixth last season, it was kind of... We almost became victims of our own success, I think. I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, there's always fan expectation. And I mean, I must admit, when we got sixth last season, you know, your natural instinct is to think, well, you know, surely we can build on this. And then, you know, we can, you know, mate, I wasn't in my wildest dreams expecting anything there, like, you know, top two, top three. But, you know, to try and be regularly competing for one of those playoff spots, you know, and for a good while this season, you know, we were in and around the playoffs. It's just unfortunate that kind of at this point in the season, we've had our worst run of the season. And I mean, I know Mike Dodds, he was saying today in his press conference that, you know, we've not given up on the playoffs. But I mean, you know, I like to think I'm, you know, err on the side of optimistic every now and again. But I mean, it's not happening this season, I don't think. I just think that the way we've dropped off in terms of form in recent weeks, it's kind of put that one to bed. But no, I mean, just going back to what you were saying there, I mean, you know, it's been a frustrating season, because just as we've got into some good runs of form, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot. I mean, earlier in the season, I mean, just looking at that graph there, I mean, you know, we won four on the bounce. We won at Blackburn, QPR. I think we beat Watford as well. Yeah, I think we moved up to fourth. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, this is great. This is the kind of, this is the progression we wanted from last season. But I mean, you know, that graph tells it all, really, just too inconsistent. I mean, you know, we've lost to a lot of teams down the wrong end of the table. I mean, Huddersfield and the double overs. And I think we've been cursed against them this season, because both matches against Huddersfield, we've been terrible. Just not even we were unlucky, we were just absolutely dreadful. And it's been a running theme. I mean, best example was, you know, our next home game after losing to Huddersfield, we beat West Brom, and then 3 days later we beat Leeds. So it's like we could pick up points against the teams in the top six, but when it came to the teams down the wrong end, we couldn't break them down, and we couldn't play against them.
I mean, I'm looking at that, like you say, that little jump that you had after, you know, not a brilliant start. I mean, you know, like you say, I mean, you had a run where you beat Rotherham, you drew with Coventry, you stuffed Southampton 5-0. Yeah. You know, you beat QPR, something that we can't do. You beat Blackburn. Okay, you lost to Coventry, but then you put three past Sheffield Wednesday and two past Huddersfield. But then, like you say, you did go on, and then you lost to, I hate to say it again, you lost then to Stoke,
yeah.
And you lost to us. But yeah, from game sort of seven, you were fourth, fifth, fourth, 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 sixth. And I had you not only at the start of the season, but I remember when we played you that first time, I remember saying how worried I was about playing you, because I had you down as a definite playoff contender. And I think when you look at the table, the top four, I think, will be the top four towards the end of the season. You know, in whatever order it happens to be, it will be the top four. And it seems that teams have been playing for those other two positions. Not just yourself. Nobody seems to have had the consistency to hold on to that. Every week, there's somebody different in the fifth and sixth positions. And I'm just looking down at the table. I mean, you are on 47 points. Hull City are on 56. So you're not. It's not impossible. It's not impossible, is it? Because, you know, we've still got 11 games to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible by any stretch. And I mean, you know, we still have to play. Obviously, after we play yourselves, you know, we've still got to play Leeds, Southampton, West Brom. And obviously Cardiff, who are just below us as well. So, yeah, I mean, it isn't impossible. But no, I mean, I just think I would not be surprised at all if we were to say, because we've got Southampton away on Saturday, I would not be surprised at all if we picked up 4 points from Leicester and Southampton and then lost to Bristol City. Because that's the sort of season we've been having. Just we turn up in the games when we don't expect to get anything, and then in the games where you think, oh, okay, you know, we should get the points there, we rarely do. The best example is, you know, the game down at Leicester, where I mean I was so pleased with how well we played. You know, we came into that game after, you know, getting thumped off Middlesbrough and, you know, getting turned over at Stoke and just been absolutely dreadful in both the games. And that was an annoying one because I was kind of thinking, you know, this could be quite a comfortable defeat here. But similar to our game on Saturday, it was one defensive lapse. And after that, you know, we kind of sort of seemed to sort ourselves out, and our goalkeeper made some really good saves that day. And yeah, it was encouraging to see us, you know, play well against one of the best teams in the league. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm hoping for a repeat of that tomorrow night, to be honest, because like I said, we do tend to turn up against the team sort of in and around the top six.
That's what we don't want to hear, Brad. I mean, Brad, when you this was last time out, and I can seriously remember saying, I'm worried about this game. Yeah. Your memories, if you have any of that game?
It wasn't
easy, was it?
No, it was a difficult game, and, you know, you don't expect a scoreline of 1-0 when you score in the second minute. You know, you scored, was it the second or 12th? I can't see from here. You see,
It was early on in the game.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't see the number properly. I thought it said second for a second there. Yeah, but you score that early in the game and you kind of hope that the goals are going to flow. You know, like that Sunderland were on the back of two heavy defeats. And we were in a good run of form ourselves, I think, scoring wise. So I think if I remember the predictions week, Chris, a lot of people went 3-4-0 Leicester. And I think I think sometimes we let that affect our ability to judge a game sometimes, because Sunderland were very good. They actually caught us out. I remember the game. They caught us out in the middle a lot. We were slacking in the middle of the park. They pounced on it. They frustrated not only the players, but the fans got a bit frustrated. It was a very nervous night to watch. And you kind of, the longer the game went on, the longer you thought somebody's just going to break for them in a minute and they're going to get a point. Or maybe, you know, there was always that air of uncertainty about it. And I remember it's one of the few games that right up until the final whistle, I've been a little bit pacing because we had a little bit of spoiltness through this season, haven't we, Chris? We've had a few games where we've got to the last 10 minutes.
Is that another new world you've invented?
I'm making up words as I go along sometimes, mate. I muddle up phrases. I might as well make up words. But you know what I mean? We've had games where we've been very comfortable near the end of the result's been done at least. But this game was stressful to watch. One of the most stressful games I've watched this season. That was a win. So, I mean, credit to them.
Paddy, I'd say I'm with Brad. I was so glad when that final whistle went. Do you have any memories of it? Did you go to the game?
No, I wasn't at the game, but I remember watching it. Like I said before, it was like at full time, I was quite annoyed that we'd lost. And I was kind of thinking, well, that's quite good because I was, you know, I was expecting, you know, I think it was after you guys took the lead. And then it was just like, there was a spell where there was sort of wave after wave of attacks. And I'm just kind of thinking, no, this could be sort of 3-4-0 this one. But no, I was really pleased with how we came out. I think Patrick Roberts had one of his lively games that day. I mean, he's had a very stop-start season so far. You know, he's out with injury at the minute and he had a hamstring injury. I don't think he'd long come back, actually, because he got injured in the win against Southampton. So I think he'd only just come back for the game at Leicester. And, you know, he looked back to some of his sort of lively best, you know, when he takes on fullbacks and tries to sort of attack the box as much as possible. But no, I mean, it was quite encouraging. I didn't have a lot of hope. I mean, I was thinking, you know, a point would be brilliant. Then I think when we did sort of concede in the way we did, and it was just, you know, just switched off, and you know, Justin's just been able to basically wander in the box pretty much unmarked. And it was frustrating because obviously when you watch it on Sky, you can kind of see it coming from a mile off because you see him, you know, you see Justin make the run and it's like, no one's picked him up. And obviously he went on to score. But
that is like, slow motion, isn't it? You can see it.
It was a bit like our
goal we conceded, our first goal we conceded at the weekend for QPR. No one picked him up, did they, Chris? Yeah.
No, he had the freedom of the KP.
We got to see Choudhury just going away from him, and it was like, no, no, no. Oh.
It's that, I think we use the zonal marking method, which is great when all of your players in their zone pick up their player. Obviously,
those are two words that remind me of Brendan Rodgers. Don't use the N words again, please.
Well, see, that was one of the things under Mowbray as well. He got us to zonally mark a lot of the time. And again, it's great when everyone, you know, all of your defenders stick to their task and stick to their man. When they don't, when a player kind of comes in pretty much unmarked, you look a bit silly because, you know, you've just obviously something's gone wrong. And the goal down at your place was a prime example of that. Just, you know, you try and zonally mark and just, you know, one or more of your defenders just weren't doing the job.
Yes. Yeah. Brad, I'm going to leave this one to you. I did put it up earlier, but I'm going to come back to it. It's out of context a little bit. But look, I get accused of being a bit horrible to some people sometimes. So this one's all yours, mate. If you can read that at all. I wouldn't be surprised if we play the same way as QPR game. I think out the manager he goes. Go for it, Brad.
Jesus. Okay, right. Denny, Chris, get the button ready. There's things I want to say, Denny, but I'm gonna let you have your opinion because you're allowed to have your opinion here. But the manager goes, come on now, that's just ridiculous. He's in his first season, and we're a team recovering from Premiership relegation, and he still has us top of the league. I know that we're on a bit of bad form, but we've lost 8 games a season, and half of them have been to 2 oppositions. Middlesbrough and Leeds done a double over us, and we've had individual losses since then. Leeds went through bad form. Southampton have been going through bad form. We were due bad form. Yeah, it sucks. We didn't like the way we played against QPR, but it happens. You can't sack a manager just because you're losing 4 when you're still top of the league. I mean, yeah, we're a little bit panicked.
But do you know, Brad, do you know who I think Denny is?
Boris.
I do believe he might be, because Denny joined the YouTube in February, so he's probably been only a couple of weeks. So he sounds to me a bit like a Boris. Boris, by the way, Paddy, is somebody that, I'm a glass half empty guy, but this was a guy fully empty.
A player could score a hat trick and he'd want Vardy in and say he was rubbish.
Like, yes.
That sort of ridiculous level. That sort of person that your opinion just gets glazed over.
Yeah, I think every club has. I know Sunderland have plenty of.
Yeah.
Plenty of follow that.
Yeah.
If you know, you know. It's one of them, isn't it?
He's making some stick in the chat. I've got to be honest with you. Not many. No, in fact, nobody's agreeing with him. Let me put it this way. So fair play. I can tell you that you are not. I am not Boris. I think he doth complain too much. He's very, very new to YouTube. So I have a feeling I've got a good feeling he is Boris, to be honest with you. Denny, mate, look, you're entitled to your opinion. I did have it ready. Then I went off and did something else. But let's just play this for you, Denny.
Are you serious?
Yes, I don't think he can be. Right, that has thrown me completely. Let us move on and let us have a look at how both seasons are going. Neither of them are brilliant, to be honest with you. And I realise I've still got QPR.
I was going to say, that's because it's wrong. It gets worse, Chris, unfortunately. Yeah, it gets worse.
I updated it, and I haven't. Just bear with me, guys.
You want to get that technical issue starts pop up with the music, don't you?
You cannot get the staff these days, I'll tell you. Who, I mean, Brad, you know, I'll give you one job, mate. Come on.
Yeah, and it's to turn up, and it's not the local thing.
Yeah, no. I accept that was me. I accept that was me. Right, here we go. There we go. I have to do it that way, unfortunately, because it take me too long to reload it onto the reel. Paddy, going into that, like I say, he beat Plymouth, Huddersfield, Birmingham, Swansea. Norwich, I kind of understood if you lost, but they are games surely on paper you would look at and you should be winning. Were they under Beale or who were they under?
So Birmingham and Huddersfield were Beale, and then Mike Dodds has been Swansea and Norwich.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the annoying thing is, I mean, after we beat Plymouth, we were all guilty of looking at the fixtures and thinking, all right, it's actually quite a nice run of fixtures. And I know after that game, particularly, obviously, you know, it was only Bale's second win in charge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we made a few changes to the lineup, and, you know, there was a couple of almost like risks made, and it paid off. And I think, I mean, I know I was sort of very quietly just thinking, could this be it for Beale? You know, could we have sort of maybe started to turn a corner? And you know, like so many other times this season, it was just another false storm, because we went to Huddersfield and we were dreadful. And then, you know, I was at the Birmingham game, and first half we were brilliant. You know, went in 1-0 up at half time. Second half just didn't lay a glove on Birmingham, and Birmingham just wanted it more. And unfortunately, you know, Swansea was a lot of the same, really. You know, we were 2-0 down quite early on, and kind of the game was dead and buried from after about half an hour, really, unfortunately. But Norwich was, it was an improvement on Swansea. Well, it was an improvement on the last three, which I guess wasn't necessarily, you know, would have been hard to have played much worse than those three. But no, I mean, Norwich was an annoying one, because, you know, I think it was that 81st minute when we conceded, and, you know, we weren't necessarily creating too much, but we looked, you know, a bit more solid, and, you know, a bit more like a sort of unified team. And like I said earlier, you know, it was a defensive lapse, and, you know, two of the defenders haven't exactly covered themselves in glory. And they've, you know, you can't really give Josh Sargent time in the box to you know, do what he does best, and we got punished. So yeah, the last four games, I mean, you know, we have seen, they haven't all been dreadful performances, but I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's no points from 12, and that's the most important stat, really, at the end of the day.
And yet, looking at that, I was checking the last five games, and I know if you look at that there, that you've been away from home a bit, haven't you? But you're actually on your home form on the last five games. You're actually eighth in the table.
Mm. Yeah, it's quite annoying, because last season our home form was pretty well. I think corner average would probably be generous, but our away form was brilliant. I think we won 11 games away from home and only 7 at home. Like, you know, and we went, the football we played away from home, it was brilliant, because there was just no pressure on us. And then obviously, as typically happens this season, it's flipped, where our home form, you know, it hasn't been perfect, but it's been much better than last season. Away from home, shocking. I mean, yeah. I think we've won 4 away games all season, and we've won 1 since September. And that was against Hull on Boxing Day, which, weirdly, you know, on paper is really, you know, it's a great result when you think of how well Hull are doing.
They beat us, you know.
Yeah, well, annoyingly, they came up to Sunderland and beat us 1-0, thanks to a deflected goal in the 70th minute or something. But yeah, you know, it's just how football goes, really. But the home form has been strange, because we haven't drawn a home game, which is really bizarre for us, because normally, you know, I think last season we drew maybe 9 or 10. But so far, with 6 home games left, we haven't drawn one. So, I mean, I don't know when that will have last happened. It must have been a long time since the team's gone a full season without drawing a home game. But no, I mean, we're I mean, you know, that sums it up, really. That sums up our home form, where we're very hit and miss. I mean, you know, we either come out the traps flying, or like against Swansea, we don't get going until there's about half an hour left. So it's been the tale of the season, really.
I mean, looking at ours there, Brad, I mean, you know, one bright spot in there was obviously the FA Cup, going away to a Premier League team and playing. We'll talk teams later, of course. But when I compare that, you know, in the last five games, we have scored 6, we've conceded 7. Sunderland has scored 5, conceded 7. Games over 2.5 games, 3 each. Both teams scored 3 games each. Am I right to be worried about this game, Brad?
Yeah, it's a necessary worry because both teams have, you know, horrendous form that they're wanting to turn around. It doesn't matter league position. In terms of confidence and what they'll be desperate to do, both teams are after the same mission right now. It's to bring an end a bad run in the league, because both teams sound very symmetrical at the moment. If you take that Bournemouth game out of it, I mean, Chris, Middlesbrough, we were poor for 80 minutes. I think I remember that game where they said you can't reward them for scoring in the 86th minute. I'd do the ratings at the end of the show, and I didn't score them highly because for 80 minutes, Borough never looked like
conceding. I remember.
Yeah. Then Leeds was the complete opposite. We were the best side for 80 minutes, and then, you know, not saying that Leeds weren't good, but we were the better side for 80 minutes, and then 10 minutes, bish, bash, bosh, deflection goals or not. We lost. And then we were bad for an entire half against QPR. And rightly nearly out of sight when we went 2-0 down. And both teams' recent forms, whoever scores the third goal is going to be important when this goes 1-0, because I guarantee you that's how it's going to go. I don't know if I predicted that, but looking at both teams' forms, it just looks like it's going to be 1-1, and if someone scores a third, that's your lot. This could be the game where we get a win like that, and that's that sort of win you talk about, Christian, and we talked about, you don't care if it comes off bloody best of God's arse cheek in the 96th minute. I will take that sort of goal. I know he can't play.
If it does, it will be disallowed.
I just thought I'd use your love child as the example to make him feel included in the game. But you know what I mean, Chris? It actually feels like one of them games. So, yes, to answer your question shortly.
Yeah.
Yes,
and I would say I'm not. I mean, what's the home atmosphere? I would imagine the home atmosphere is very, very good still. Because it's Sunderland, you've got great supporters up in the northeast. Are they getting behind the team? Are they, you know, if let's say we get an early goal, will they start at the team? You know, having a go at them. How's the crowd been this season?
I live down in the Midlands, so like I've only got to a couple of home games this season. The last one I went to was actually the Michael Beale's first game in charge when Coventry thumped us 3-0. So the atmosphere on that occasion was it was understandably pretty bad. But I mean, the impression I get is that, you know, it's always been a case of, you know, if the opposition score first, there's always, you know, the kind of the groan of sort of, you know, almost like here we go again. Which, you know, can be, it's frustrating, but I mean, it's just, it happens, you know, plenty of football teams have that kind of reaction when they're at home. When things are going well for Sunderland, the stadium lights are a fantastic place, you know, the atmosphere is brilliant. Unfortunately, this season, it's been very hit and miss. We've not really been able to build up a decent run of form, especially at home. You know, we've won the odd home game here and there, but we've not been able to build any real momentum at the minute. No, and like losing our last home game to Swansea kind of, you know, it put a dampener on that again. But no, I mean, it's, you know, I'd imagine that, you know, there'll still be a bit of a decent crowd there. I know some people have been saying online that they're going to stay away because of the run what we're on. I don't believe that. I mean, I think, you know, this will be a good crowd. I mean, this is a club who are getting sort of touching 30,000 for our fourth year in League One. You know what I mean? We have some very hardcore fans. And, you know, they'll most of our fans will watch us through thick and thin. I know we got a lot of fans did return after we got promoted to the Championship. But again, you know, that's the case with a lot of teams as well, you know. But fans do feel like they have to stay away when things aren't going well. And, you know, that's their right as a supporter. But no, I mean, we've always had a very hardcore and quite a big hardcore group of fans. And you know, that's not going to change. Because, I mean, you know, in the context of this season and, you know, how well we've done over the last sort of year and a half, it's a blip, but it's frustrating more than worrying for me. You know, I mean, I do think we will shift out of it. You know, every team does come out of their bad run of form. It was just unfortunate that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We lost three straight games and then we had Norwich, Leicester and Southampton in a week. Which wasn't the best time. But all the talk from you guys about being in a bad run of form is almost luring me into a false sense of security. So I don't know. I don't know if I want to get too suckered in.
My next question was, therefore, after what you've just said, is it a good time to be playing Sunderland?
I think so, but I also think we're kind of reaching a period where we're not. It's weird because it feels like we've not really got much to lose at the minute. I mean, I know some of our fans have been sort of looking over their shoulders and thinking, you know, surely we couldn't get, you know, could we get dragged into that relegation scrap? I don't think so. I mean, I know it's only 9 points, but I just think there's, because of just how congested it is and how many teams down there are, I can't see it personally. So
they're all fighting amongst each other, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, you were saying there about how the playoffs are, you know, there's a different team in the playoffs each week. It's like that at the bottom of the table now. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you had Stoke and QPR and Sheffield Wednesday all winning, and it's crazy down there.
Thank you. With that one in there, right, so nice having you on, Paddy. Thank you. Goodbye.
we've got our next home game after you guys is QPR, and they could be going into it flying. So
yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that one, because a couple of weeks back that looked like what should have been quite a straightforward win for us, but
don't we know, Brad? Well, going into QPR would be a straightforward win. But look, Brad. Looking at the table there, I mean, Sunderland are intense. I mean, they're only 9 points off. Maybe that's a little bit too much with 11 games still to go. Look, we've played 35 games. Last season, this would be the end of the season for us, wouldn't it? You know, so we've almost played a full Premier League season already. We're 3 points ahead of Ipswich. Now, yeah, people say, oh, it was 17 or whatever it was at one point, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of time this season, that 3-point gap was all there was. And every time that they would, you know, they would sort of play at a different time to us and they'd win and they'd catch up and then it'd be 1 point or whatever it was. Then we'd go and win. So it's not like we're not used to this sort of pressure, or we should be used to it.
Yeah, we're used to it. And, you know, it's probably what the team needed. They probably needed a little bit of a wake-up call, because I think they started to believe their own hype a little bit. I know they didn't try to, but sometimes, you know, it's not an excuse. It's just, you know, you look at the reason of history will tell you that sometimes you get a little bit complacent. I mean, I want to bring up a very obscure memory, but Arsenal's invincible season, I remember we played them at Filbert Street. No, it was Walker Stadium. Was it the King Power? It was Walker Stadium back then. shall I say. And it was an air unbeaten season, Chris. I don't know if you remember this. But we were 1-0 up with like 5 minutes to go. And Arsenal were going for a bit of a cagey part, weren't they? They were drawing games and winning games 1-0 then. And they played us and we nearly ended their run. And it's kind of like,
yeah, I think we got a draw out of them, didn't we?
Yeah, well, yeah, they equalised in like the 90th minute. I think it's like Gilberto or someone scored. And it was, we were like so close to ending that run. We were one of the teams that got the closest in a 1-1 draw. And it's kind of how it feels with us being at the top of the league. That's what it's like. We got a bit complacent and that's what's caused us to go off. And we haven't got away with it like they did back then a few times. So we've got to get it right now. And hopefully that's, you know, this is, sorry to say it to you, Paddy, but I hope this is a game where we kind of put that to rest now. And because who knows, we saw it with the Leeds result. The results could still go our way and we open up that gap a little bit.
I mean, Wednesday. You said this post-match on Saturday. Leeds must be kicking themselves. We're not beating Huddersfield. Because if Sunderland were to beat us tomorrow and Ipswich were to win, we would still be top because our goal difference over Ipswich...
We're, unless you know, we lose badly and they win like by 15
goals. It needs to be 7-0 both ways. Sunderland need to put 7 past us. And no disrespect, Paddy, I don't think that's going to happen.
In the post-match afterwards, you said it, not us.
Yeah. I'll edit that out later. It's not live. Nobody's watching.
53 minutes and 43 seconds.
And I don't think Ipswich will... Whoever they're playing will put 7 past them. So, yeah, I mean, it would take those two results for us to be knocked off the top. But, yeah, so we have been here before and we should be used to it. So let's not get too panicky. Ronald and Scott, I've seen your comments about the team and I have starred them because we are going to be doing a team later. So we'll come back to that. Let's just have a look here. Oh, yeah, we'll press the right button. There we go. What are we looking at for Sunderland, Paddy, as in formation, your style of playing? Who should we be worried about, if you think there is somebody we should be worried about?
Well, the easy answer to that one would have been Jack Clark. But obviously, we'll not be seeing him for a while. And, I mean, potentially, you know, I don't want to say it, but we might have seen the last of him in a Sunderland shirt. I obviously hope not. But I mean, the injury, what he's got, I mean, he's basically going to be out until I think at least the middle of April, which I think leaves him with probably about 2, maybe 3 games to go. Yeah. That easy answer is kind of taken out of it. I mean, to be honest, the players who we've got, I mean, you know, we signed a player from, was Belgium, Romain Mundel, who used to play for Tottenham. He was at the Tottenham Academy. We signed him in January. It's quite funny because he was sort of supposedly brought in as like Jack Clark's replacement. I don't think we probably didn't expect him to be kind of replacing Jack Clark this soon. Yeah. You know, that's how football goes, really. I've liked the look of him so far. You know, he's only played a few games. He looks really sharp. And he looks like he's actually going to be able to get the ball in the box more often than not, which I think we've desperately missed a lot this season. We've kind of had this running thing where it's like, despite the fact that we have strikers at the club now, you know, we had a problem with it last season. We play like we don't have strikers and we don't put the ball in the box enough. And I think the funniest thing was on Saturday, we started with Luis Semedo, who's a 6'3", 6'4" centre forward, and we didn't put the ball in the box. We then replaced him with Nazari Roussin, who is, well, I don't know his exact height, but he's much shorter. And then we started putting the balls in the box. And you kind of look at it and you think, that should be common sense. Obviously, no, it's obviously not. And maybe there was some sort of magical plan there what we couldn't see. But no, I mean, you know, our strikers, they've had a lot of criticism this year. But at the same time, I think they've kind of suffered from, there's been no consistency. You know, it's been very rare that they've started back-to-back games. There's been a lot of rotation, and also just the fact that we don't play to centre forward strengths. You know, a lot of our game plan before was to give the ball to Jack Clark and, you know, kind of see what he can do. Obviously, yeah. Now we don't have that option, so it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But no, I mean, in terms of formation, we against Swansea, we went with five at the back. We switched it back to a pretty much a four at the back for Norwich, and that was with you know, players who I think we are going to mix up the defence basically because Dan Ballard's back from suspension. He had a 2-game ban for 10 yellow cards. You know, I mean, for me, he's our best defender. You know, he's a brilliant centre back, and I think he'll get the point where, you know, we might be struggling to keep hold of him because I know there's been Premier League interest, and you watch him week in, week out, and you think, yeah, you can kind of see why. So I think he'll come straight back in. You know, it'll just be a case of kind of how the rest of the defence gets mixed up, really. But the rest of the team, I can't really see there being too many changes. I'd like to see us start Luis Semedo again. I think again, going back to needing a run in the team, I think we need to basically go with either him or our Ukrainian striker, Rusin. I think at least one of them needs to start every game now because, you know, they're our players. They're on quite long contracts. You know, we need to give them minutes, you know. I mean, Semedo, for example, that was his first start since the first day of the season. And a lot of the time under Mowbray, he come on for sort of down at Leicester. I remember he came off the bench in injury time. It's like, there's no point. There's no point. You're not benefiting anybody from doing that. No. So, yeah, I think it'll be four at the back. I think Ballard will come straight back in. The midfield, I mean, I'd be surprised if it changes up from Norwich. I think I'd like to see us start with the midfield we had there. And yeah, just it sounds simple, but I'd like to see us get the ball in the box more. I'd like to see our wingers hug the touchline a bit more and just get at the fullbacks because we've been quite narrow all season. And even when we've had Roberts and Clark, we've been too narrow and we've been too predictable a lot of the time. I'd like to see us just try and attack the fullback, get the ball in the box, and it's a bit of a cliche, but just to go back to basics, really.
Yeah. We'll do ours in a bit, Brad, because we go through it player by player, so I don't want to bore you to death on that one. But no, thank you for that. But it's that point that we all hate. Score predictions. Brad, let me come to you. I can't remember, so you can tell me what I went as well in the prediction league. You can't. No. I'll look it up. Don't worry. Whilst you give me yours.
Well, I can't even remember mine, so I want to see what I've got. See how optimism has changed me since the QPR game.
Yeah, we did these predictions. We do a prediction league, Paddy, and we put out because it was a 2-game week. We put our predictions in like before Friday and we're all confident.
I can tell you, Chris, that you went for a Chris special because you went 2-1 Leicester. An early season Leicester special, as we called it, because that was the scoreline we were getting. And I was really optimistic. I went 2-0, but basically this doesn't count towards that. I feel like Chris is going to get 3 points on this if we're going to win. Because I said 3 goals a game, and I'm going to go 2-1 Leicester. I do think there'll be 3 goals in this game, and someone's going to end their run. It just obviously for strange and obvious reasons, I hope it's the away team that wins it. Just in case I didn't clarify that with our bad run, Chris, I just wanted to make sure you know I meant Leicester. When I said 2-1, I meant 1-2.
I have written 1-2 down. Yes, I've got it the right way round.
Wasn't feeling that pessimistic.
Yeah. Nice to see that you're copying my homework.
I think
you've actually jumped over me in the table, but there we go. Paddy, what are you going to go for?
To be honest, I mean, I think I can't see Sunderland winning. Obviously, as much as I would love that, I just think that we've been playing with not much confidence of late. But I do think it'll be an improved performance, and I'm just going to go for the 1-0 to Leicester. It'll not be a draw because, I mean, the more home games you get through without a draw, the more I'm thinking we're going to go full season without drawing a home game, which is just bizarre. but no, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be very, you know, I can see it being similar to the game at Leicester. I think Leicester will create lots of chances. It just kind of depends on how well we can handle them. I know Anthony Patterson, our goalkeeper, had a brilliant game last time out. He had a decent performance on Saturday. So I think he'll have a bit more confidence, hopefully, because his performances have been a bit hit and miss of late. But yeah, I can only really see it going one way, but I just want to see a bit more of an improved performance, and I just want to see us play with a bit more identity again, really, because we've gone too long without really troubling any opposition teams. So I just want to see that change, to be honest.
So what are you going to nail your colours to?
Yeah, I'd go 1-0 Leicester.
Oh, you're going 1-0, sorry, right. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close, but no, I just...
You see, every time that's happened this season, Brad, we've lost. Every time this opposition and come for a Leicester win. I think they've worked us out here. I think
that was a fluke. That one.
They're going to win 1-0. That's it. Out here. You're banned from 1-0 away.
You're banned from predicting for us. I think that's the thing. I mean, I went 2-1, but we were joking before, weren't we? And we were texting each other sort of before the game on Saturday. We both. So, we'll probably take a draw at that time. I'm actually, although I've gone 2-1, so I can't change that, I've actually think it'll either be 2-1 or we might even now, with what you've been telling me in this show, I might actually go 3-1. You've given me a bit of confidence that maybe we can actually get...
Foolish mortal.
you've lured me in. You caught me. Got me in there. Ronald said quite the obvious, and I see what you mean, Ronald. I couldn't give a prediction until I see what side we put out. Of course, we don't know, but it's just for a bit of fun. But we do remind people what they predicted. Paddy, I don't know if you've got any help on this, just for any Leicester fans that are going up. What is parking like near the ground, and are there any decent pubs or are there any pubs that will allow Leicester fans in?
In terms of parking, I mean, you have got, just over the river, there is a couple of car parks. What are there? It's a case of like a lot of places where you just got to get there in plenty of time, really. I know that there is also there's a couple of park and rides as well. If you don't want to, if you want to be a little bit further out, and then, you get a bus to the stadium. In terms of pubs, there is one, which is actually, it's a personal favourite of mine. It's a brilliant place to go. It's called the Fans Museum. It's in a old train station, which is part of the old railway line. And it's basically, it's like, it does what it says in the tin, really. There's loads of Sunderland memorabilia there, and loads of football memorabilia in general. And it's always away fans welcome. They have a couple of bars there. They have Sky Sports on as well on a match day. And it's a really friendly place to go. Multiple times I've been in, and there's been away fans in as well. And they've always said they've enjoyed their visit. So I mean,
that's called the Fans Museum. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's right around the corner from the stadium. It's over the bridge. It's probably about a 5-minute walk, maybe not even that. Obviously, it'd be a bit further to the away end. It's a lovely place to go for a drink, and it's always a nice atmosphere. So that would be my recommendation.
Now we know, guys. Now we know.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember. I am guessing that 4 Hour played for both, etc. Been at both. I think last time we would have probably gone for Kevin Phillips. I'm almost certain. And I got told off by Craig, who normally does these shows, that I did one recently and I'd picked Harold Wilkinson at being at both, and he was like our caretaker manager for 4 games. But that was a Leeds one. And I got roasted. But technically I was still correct. I don't know. Well, I remember this guy. Hopefully, Brad and Paddy, you do as well. Been at both Martin Waghorn. Brad, let's come to you. Missed the penalty, as indeed did Jan Kermagant, but Jan Kermagant was banished to hell for the rest of his life. And we took Martin Waghorn to our hearts.
Yeah, he did. Came on loan from Sunderland initially. I think he played under another former Sunderland player with us at the time. I think, if I'm right in saying, God rest him, but Martin Fullop was a player we had on loan from there as well, in and around the same time as him. And we really wanted the deal to get done. And that was back when we were struggling financially. Not under an FFP investigation. We were just struggling financially to get the funds together. Go and check out that other show that Chris did a shameless plug for earlier after here. So I just thought I'd do that for you there, Chris. And I remember he wanted to come in the summer, and I think we had to... It went down to deadline day getting him in, didn't it? And it was someone we were trying to get a player in to replace him, and it went... I distinctly remember it went down to either the wire, at least the last couple of days. We were literally just waiting on Sunderland to get a third striker in. And he was a great player for us, a great servant. We wanted to maybe see more of him. I think he had a few unfortunate injuries at his time at Leicester. Kind of a bit Dennis Pratt reminds me of him a bit like that, because he was a bit unfortunate with his injuries. Every time he seemed to get going, he'd get an injury and be out for as long as he was fit. But great memories of him. And even if he did go on to play for Derby County, you know, he can't help where he has to go. Yeah, great player. I liked him.
And you know, we had that playoff, was it the semis, wasn't it, against Cardiff? Jan Kermagant went up and did the old Panieka, is it?
Panieka,
that's it. Thank you. And obviously he missed. And then Martin Waghorn went up. The pressure that was on him as a lone player.
And it was a bloody good penalty as well.
It was. He put his... He'd have ended up in the back of the net with the ball. But unfortunately, it hit the bar. And now my memories, Paddy, were the fact that you rinsed us for £3 million for him. I'm not saying he wasn't worth £3 million, but you knew we wanted him. And the club, you added another £1 million onto the asking price, I'm sure. But we loved him. Did you love him at Sunderland?
Yeah, I mean, no, he was an academy product. Local lad. He was from South Shields, which was just down the road from Sunderland. He came in the side when we were in the Premier League. He made his debut. I think it was actually against Manchester United at the Stadium of Light in front of a packed house. And you know, I mean, that was when United were, you know, it's when they were much better than what they are now, basically. And they were, you know, it was one of the great sides what Alex Ferguson had built to win the title. And yeah, I mean, he did okay. You know, you could say he was still young.
He didn't play that many games for you, did he?
He didn't, no. I mean, it was you were one of, well, quite a few. He had one of the loan when he was at Sunderland. And he went on loan to, I think it was Charlton. I mean, he never really got the opportunities, really. And it's ironic, because if he came through our academy now, then with the way we have our, like, set up with our youth players, he'd have probably played every game this season. Unfortunately, back then, you know, we weren't as focused on the youth side of it. And I remember he used to score bucketfuls of goals for our reserve team and, like, under 21s. You know, he'd end up getting sort of 30 odd goals a season. He was just absolutely prolific. So I was pleased sort of when he got a move away. And, you know, he's had, looking at sort of, you know, I think he struggled at first. You know, he didn't really settle anywhere at first when he left Sunderland. But it's been good to see in more recent years that, you know, he's kind of found a bit more of a permanent home.
He's still playing, isn't he? I think he's still playing for Derby.
Yeah, he's back at Derby. Obviously, yeah. he was at Derby a few years, and then he went to Coventry for a bit, and then yeah, he's ended up back at Derby now. So yeah, I mean, he was a good player. He was a really good, you know, he was a striker. Well, you could tell even from a young age that he had that sort of instinct. And yeah, I mean, he never worked out at Sunderland, but I'm pleased it's, you know, he's been able to build a career elsewhere.
Yeah, no, we loved him. I think because when he missed that penalty, Brad, he was actually upset. The guy was in tears.
Yeah, his reaction said it all. He dropped straight to the floor. And the worst thing is, you talk about him being one of the nicest guys you ever met. I listened to his interviews. He just sounded like he couldn't fly, sort of guy. The crowd talked to him. He's one of them that, you know, sometimes you just get a cult hero status, don't you? You really do. We've had a few.
He played 103 games, but he only got 20 goals.
Yeah, but they always seem to come at the right time, didn't they? They always came in a purple patch. So they never came in like one every 20 games or something. They literally seem to happen in a cluster and in vital moments. And then they get injured.
You never accuse him of not trying either, could you?
No, you couldn't. And I think that's what we were in an era where we were appreciating that, weren't we, a bit? The efforts of the players.
And he went through the period where he had one of the worst shirts we've ever had as well. So you've got to give him credit for wearing that. That said, I do have one, of course. Paddy, thank you so very much for coming on. I would wish you all the best, but I really, really wouldn't mean it. But
that's fine.
I'm sure you will do the same to us. But for the rest of the season, look, you're a huge club. I'd love to see you in the playoffs and maybe get there this time and come up with us. I think that we need another Northeast club in the Premier League. There's the we'll play proper football and not buy it. Oh, did I say that out loud? Before you go, just give everybody a shout out as to where they can find you.
Yeah, so we're the Roker Report podcast. We have weekly, well, sometimes a couple of times a week podcasts. We've got our own website where we update, you know, there's new articles and content every day. And then obviously we have post and pre-match articles as well. All the contributions are just a loyal bunch of Sunderland fans, really. So yeah, it's been a pleasure to be part of them for all these years, and yeah, it's a great bunch to be a part of, and I love it. It's great being able to produce the content we do, really.
Yeah, Elijah is showing his age here. He's gone for Whitworth. I mean, that is good. I did actually see that Steve Whitworth had played for both, but that was going. I even think Craig would have struggled to it because I didn't even remember him playing for Sunderland, and I remember Steve Whitworth, and of course Matt Piper as well says. Mate, all the best. Let me know what we were talking about with the radio before. Give me a message and let me know if that was of interest to you. And as I say, good luck. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll be speaking to you next season. You never know. This is a weird league.
It is. It certainly is. Thanks so much, guys.
All the best, mate. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Paddy there. His link is in the description below, everybody. So if you do want to get over, it's a great channel. And it's not Leeds, which is even better. You go, Brad. I've just seen your message, mate. You go, and he will be back in a second, will Brad? He has gone to water the plants. So what we're going to do now is we are going to be picking the team that we think will play. Now, I said when we played QPR that having lost to Middlesbrough and having lost to Leeds, that we should go out and play that team that beat Bournemouth. Yes, they missed a lot of chances in front of goal. But no, we went back to the team that played and lost to Middlesbrough and Leeds. And guess what? We lost again. So I'm going to pick my team is picked and ready to go. Brad knows mine. And then Brad, he said he's going to be controversial. My teeth haven't worked all day. We'll be picking the teams and we'll be doing that after this very, very short break.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
Chris does it 3 hours a day.
Wanna do it again?
5 days a week.
Oh, yes.
Just for you.
I love it.
On the Golden Breakfast Show.
This is Surrey Hills Radio.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Indeed. And hey, here he is back. And built for speed, Brad. Built for speed.
Definitely, I tried to be at least. Just one of the emergent surgery moments. Like, oh, I need to go quickly.
No. Last thing I would want you to do is to leave a puddle on your sofa. Anywhere, because it's leather, as I can see. So that wouldn't be the best plan. Right, this is my team. I've already done it. I've got to be honest with you. It is a team that is almost, for me, born out of necessity because it's who's available. Sort of thing, I'll talk us very quickly through this, and then I'm going to let you sort of go for yours. You have said the word controversial, so I am looking forward to it. Look, for me, and when you look at Choudhury there, right? Choudhury is playing that Ricardo role where he is the right back, and he moves into that central role as well. Not saying he covered himself in glory against QPR in that role, but for me, it's a case of, well, what else is there, sort of thing. Now, you may come in and go, let's try this player doing that. So I'm really excited. A lot of people are saying Doyle might come back. I don't know what it is. I think if we sign, I don't think it would be the worst signing we ever made. But I think he is purely a squad player. I just don't see how you can drop Justin. And I'm trying to forget that we've had three really bad games and be fair and say, let's have a look at how they can play. Faz, again, he just picks himself. I think he's having a good season. He does like to run forward. Thing is, so does Nelson quite often. And I think I wanted Cody to start against QPR. For me, look, we've lost three. If we lost four, I think we'd have the fans going into meltdown, to be honest with you. And it would just, losing that four in a row, especially if Ipswich and Leeds win, it would be handing them the mental advantage, if you like. You know, not necessarily an advantage on points, but the fact that, look, we're here now with Leicester. And I think we need an experienced head, you know, like a Matt Elliott, a Wes Morgan. And Ben Nelson hasn't really done an awful lot wrong. I just think that experience that Cody offers us could be vital, could really, really be vital. But look, I said exactly the same against QPR and he ignored me. So it'll probably be Nelson again. Winks, to me, again, goes without saying. Mavididi and Fatawu, I've got to be honest with you. McAteer, I'm not sure, is McAteer injured as well now?
I don't know if there's been a press conference release. I haven't seen a notification.
I did think about Marchal and I did think about Albrighton starting because I've started with Vardy. Which may surprise you with my love affair for Dakar, but I think again, it's his experience we could do with this time. And like I say, it's not like we're trying to fight to stay in the division, but I just think, like I say, having lost three on a run, with what would happen if we lost this one as well, like I say, mentally for the other teams, we just need these players with the experience. And I put Atgun in there because basically there's nobody else really. Pratt's injured. Indeed, he's injured. It's a case of, like, you know, Gavin Lineker, go and get your boots, please. So that's why I've gone like that. And I can see from your face that you don't agree with me. And that's fair enough. Like I said to Denny earlier, we're all out of our opinion, but we don't have to agree with each other. Brad, you said you were going to be controversial. Are we going 4-4 bloody two?
No, we're not going Mike Bassett levels of controversial, but I'm going to put us into the shape that we start in, first of all, if you would be so kind, Chris. And I'm going to say that the majority of your team actually gets into mine, but just maybe not the way that you think. First of all, I'd change it to a 4-3-3.
Okay, so let
me, awkward.
And I've just realised that it doesn't really help if I try and change things on the screen. I have to go into the website. So,
okay, lovely.
pretty obvious.
When the 4-3-3, Chris, if you get two options, I want one where it's two midfielders and the third one isn't defensive, he's forward. So the opposite to that. So you see where Mavididi's on your screen. No, forward. He needs to go.
Only 4-3.
Okay.
I've only got those two 4-3-3s.
Okay. Then for the beneficial of being visual with it, imagine Mavididi's position is further forward, if you will. He's more in that Madison 10 role. I don't know if it'll allow you to move.
Look, I can do that.
That works. That's exactly how I want it for me. I want it 4-3. Yeah, with a wing, yeah, just to give the visual of them being back.
I didn't realize I could do that.
You'll be doing that all the time now.
I'm not used to this one. I'm used to that other one, if you remember, but I couldn't find this last time, and I found this. So please, everybody, I don't know if I can actually. Oh, here we go. Let I can do even do this. Look at this. Oh, I like my new toy.
We practiced it. That's what she said.
Right, so don't panic, everybody. We've not got Vardy out on the wing. I'm not doing a Roy Hodgson, but there we go. Right, let's have a look then. We're going to start, I presume, with Hermansson.
So we're going to get Smithies out of retirement. Yeah, it's Madsen.
Let's be honest, at the moment, you know, he's, and not just him, I know. I'm not having to go at the goalkeepers here, but he's letting one or two in at the moment.
He is. Ironically, if you were to pick off that run in that sense, you'd probably go Stolarczyk because one game, zero goals. So, you know, he's doing quite well. We got on that one. Yeah. At the left back option, I would actually go Doyle.
Okay.
I just think we need to try something else. Justin's passing in that attacking sense. It's been a bit different. And Doyle was originally brought in from Maresca on that left to do the job that Justin had to come in and fill because of Doyle's long-term injury.
Yes. I mean, I would not be disappointed with Doyle. He hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And he's had a better effect than Cassidy did, you know, when we were playing him. Mm. So I just love James Justin, to be honest with you. That's why I pick him. But I'm happy to go. I understand why you've done that, mate.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. Remember, I said this is controversial.
I think I know where you
scared.
Might be going with this, but go on.
Well, let's see. Let's do a prediction, Chris. You write it down. No, I'm joking. You write it down. You tell me, you write down what you think I'm going to do, and we'll see if you've got time to figure it out or not. Because I'm going to agree with you with my centre-back pairing. It is, I want Cody on one side and Faze on the other. Whichever side Vestergaard is, put Cody in. Whichever side Faze normally is, put Faze.
Faze goes on the right.
Well, there you go then. To me, it's left, right, potato, potato.
Now, this is where I think you're going to get controversial.
Yes, because normally what I've noticed with the inverted wingers is although they both do the inverted winger role, one of them's always a bit more conservative, and I don't want Chowdhury anywhere near right back. And as much as I love Albrighton, I do think we might need him as an option as a winger. So you're right to put James Justin in because I want him on the right because he's covered for Pereira when he's injured before. And people
he can play
that.
On the right, totally 100%, mate. He can play on the right. And I had a feeling I was You see, I know. I've known you too long, mate.
You have. But that is one of maybe the first controversial ones. But I think it makes more sense because he's natural to play that side, and he played it for Luton, I think, a few times on that side. I think we originally signed him to be versatile.
Would he be able to play? Are you still having him going into the middle and helping?
Yeah, but he'll be the more conservative one. He'll be like how Ricardo can play that role. Sometimes I say he doesn't go forward, but it's actually when he's supposed to be the conservative one. So he'd be more doing that role instead of pushing on past Fatawu in that sense on that side for me, because he is stronger on his left to do that. I think on the right, he's a bit more conservative. Now then, the controversy continues. So I'm going to get the elephant out of the way right after I put the easy one in and Harry Winks. Harry Winks is one of their midfield three, one of the centre mid position players. That's just a given. I can forgive one below par performance from him, considering the other 34 beforehand were not 8 out of 10s easily. Here's where I get my second bit of controversial in. Number 8 role. I'm putting Younes Akgün in the number 8 role.
On the right here.
Dewsbury Hall to the bench. Yeah, I'm dropping Dewsbury Hall to the bench.
He's played well
in the number 8 role for me, mate. And the way, and you'll understand where I'm going if you remember what I said about Bournemouth performance. So see if he can get 3 steps ahead of everybody else that didn't know it and see if he can remember it. So
I'm moving just a little bit forward there because obviously he swapped.
Yeah, you're trying to give the visual.
I put Akgün in the right place for you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want him in that number 8 role.
I understand again why you've dropped Dewsbury Hall, and I think he's looking knackered. I'm going to be honest with you.
He's getting overused.
He's a bit like Barnes was under Rodgers in a way, but he's better than Barnes was most of the time. So I do totally get why you're doing. And like I say, we haven't got an awful lot of choice, but, you know, he played so well against Bournemouth. Yes, look, you know, he's got a couple of goals, but, you know, he's not a forward, but he was causing so much problems in that Bournemouth defence. Like I said, you take a shot, hit somebody's arse and goes in.
Yeah, and that's what I reckon you can get out of him. While he's brushing up on his shooting boots, he's at least putting it in the right channels of areas, and that's where it is.
We agree on that, actually, don't we? We tend generally agree on that, because that's pretty much what I had.
Yeah. So you see why I'm coming with this team. Now... Yeah. The other two, it's not really a debate for me, I'm sorry. They do have games where they're out-muscled, but the fact that it takes 3 people to keep Mavadidi quiet, it shows you how good he is and how much of a threat he is to opposition. He has to play. I don't think you need them switching off. You want them constantly focusing on MTs. So the other side's obvious as well, is Fatawu. You know, we can see it here and sometimes say Enzo's got his favourites. We have our favourites, let's face it. And there's 3 names in there.
You cannot drop them. You know,
they're not in that consistent enough bad form to say you're dropped for it. Here's where my controversy continues. And I don't care which 2 of these players I mention it is. I'm going to use my love child here to make the example obvious. Iheanacho in the false 9 role. Okazaki role. Kelechi Iheanacho in a false 9 Okazaki style role. It's either him or Tom Cannon because they play as a deep line forward. They play like Okazaki did for the man you want up front. Come short, get the ball, make a pass, get an assist more than goals. And that's something I think we can benefit from Tom Cannon or Iheanacho going forward.
Okay.
So my striker choice is kind of similar with the position I've just gone. It's either Daka or Vardy because you need the pace man to complement the false 9 role for Iheanacho or Cannon. So I'm gonna actually back you here a bit and say we need to maybe put Vardy in that role, go for that experience head, someone who can run that line, because there's one thing we do lack when Vardy doesn't play, and I know that the future needs to be on Vardy next season. I'm still with you on that, but the one little bit of nicheness that Vardy has in his game that others don't, Chris, in our strike force, is the ability to cause chaos on the back line. by just putting a bit of pressure on. When some people give it up and know, oh, I'm not going to get a block on it, so what's the point? He does it to get in the goalkeeper or centre-back's head and make him rush it. And we get a throw-in in their half, you know what I mean? And I think we need that impetus back in that attacking lineup. And I think we get that with Vardy. And that's the best way to keep him up there, Chris, is to have the supply.
And have I got Iheanacho in the right place for you?
Yes, I want him. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what I look for. He's a, because the way we press, you've got to remember, we play a high line, Chris. That midfield wouldn't be, that middle of the park doesn't get left empty because Iheanacho collects the ball early and then pushes forward, and obviously Winks and Atgun would push forward, and that allows that, you know, we know where we usually see our centre backs are on the halfway line, for Christ's sake, when we attack. So it would be, still allows us that push in midfield. So for me, that's why I'd go a bit controversial. And I saw Ronald's comment, I was like, he's going to be surprised maybe at how I've got him into the team.
No, Ronald's very much agreeing with you, and I'm
well, someone tell Vishar, I'll take the job. Enzo out, Braddon, I'll take the job.
I'm not going to disagree with you, because we've got to try something. You know, I do start my blog on the BBC webpage, www.bbc.com/ Leicester City, LCFC, whichever, with that saying, which apparently isn't Albert Einstein. I thought it was Albert Einstein that said it. He's attributed to his saying, insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But apparently it wasn't. It was some American woman. But we need to do something different. And why not go for that? Why not go for that, indeed? You know, if we go with that, Ronald, I say Ronald's gone for a 3-0. I didn't see that at the bottom there. I'll have whatever, pint of whatever you're having, Ronald. But look, hey, we know they can play together, Iheanacho and Vardy. So let's see. Fingers crossed. Brad, stay on the line because I want to have a chat with you. Thank you so very, very much. Do get over there, give Brad's channel a like, which is actually our sister channel, LTID TV2. Women who actually played very well yesterday against Chelsea. 4-0, I think it ended, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It was such and a
It was a 4-0 scoreline.
No, it wasn't. The first half could have come out very differently. The girls actually had the chance to put the ball in the net and hit the post actually before Chelsea broke the deadlock.
And I don't know if you've seen the highlights, because I messaged you about the first goal. And do you remember when we scored against Derby and in the playoff, and the defender went to head it and it went over his head? That kind of happened.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Of happened in the girls' game.
It
was just one of the. We're playing Chelsea, they're top of the league, fair play. But I tell you what, it wasn't a 4-0. And I think we would have beaten a lot of the teams that were down at the bottom with us. But
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Bristol had an absolute stinker.
They did.
6-2, they lost 7-3.
7-3
in the end. And they're on 6 points. Leicester on 16 points. They've already scored this season. You've got to give credit to the girls. They've already scored more goals this season than they have in any other season in the WSL. They've already acquired more points way before this game than they had in either previous seasons in the WSL as well. So they're a scoring unit. And you know what, Chris, as well? You see this step in progress, because the last... I don't want to talk about the scorelines 2 seasons prior to them. I think they were in double figures over both games. And Leicester, I know it sounds weird, but Leicester only conceded 9 this season, but they put up better fights. They were 2-0 up. That might be an Arsenal. Yeah, they lost 5-2 at home to the King Power. It's the first time they'd scored past Chelsea in 3 seasons, Chris.
Yes.
And yes, they didn't score this time around, but they played a hell of a lot better. And had they been a bit more clinical in front of goal, who knows what the outcome would be. They're going in the right direction, Chris. They certainly are looking like a good side.
Yeah, we're not going to go down anyway. That's the thing. Brad, thank you very much. Like I say, do stay on the line, mate. Thanks so much. If you have been listening via the podcast, whether that's the YouTube podcast or Spotify, Apple, and I can't remember what the other ones are, but any of the major podcast platforms, thank you very much for lending me your ears. Next time, can you remove the wax, please? And if you've been on here and you've been in the chat, thank you so very much. Give us a like, smash the likes on the channel. It really does help. And subscribe. We're over 3,000 subscribers now, and it's been climbing. So thank you very, very much for helping us get to that milestone. But that's it. We're going to be back at 9 with the championship preview. We're going to be looking at all the games, running through those. Kate will be joining us. But thank you very much. But in the meantime, Brad, are you ready?
I'm never ready.
Me.
It's good night from him.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Hello.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.